Hey everybody, it's TJ.
And Celine.
And we're dead inside.
For another episode of Dead Inside.
I thought you were gonna do it. We're dead inside, people.
Alright.
No. Okay. We're back for another episode of TJ and Celine Nerd Out to Nerdy Things 2022.
Two. We're like the same length of waves.
Yes, we are. Welcome, everybody, to season 3, episode 1. New year, new us.
Yep.
Well, same us.
Same us, new year.
Yep. Is it the same shit, different year.
We're here.
Literally.
We're queer, and we need a beer.
Lord, bear me strength.
None of that was wrong.
No. It wasn't.
Except for the fact that we don't drink this year because of our New Year's resolution, TJ and I. We've deemed to not be, I'm just kidding, guys. We just
promiscuous?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
We're just not being sluts this year. All right.
We got
it's
a little...
okay if you are one. We are choosing not to this year.
Right. We have a little bit of Blanche Devereaux in all of us.
Look. We partook.
Yeah.
Now we're tooking away.
Took it away. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that.
We're not. We have neither a resolution nor an alcohol problem.
No. So, for those that don't know, I don't know specifically the day. I guess somewhere around March 2021, I stopped drinking alcohol.
He did.
And Celine says all the time, you don't have to not drink because of me.
Yeah, because I thought he was like, you inspired me. And I was like, I hope I'm not like making you feel like you can't drink because you definitely can.
So, fun little conversation we had. She said when she would drink, she would wake up with headaches.
Yep.
And she didn't understand why. And I was like, well, shit. The medications I'm on say to not drink with alcohol.
Yep.
Did you know they actually mean that?
Not until I continuously partook.
Yes.
And got sick.
Yeah, so I would drink, and I wouldn't even drink a lot. Like, not, I would drink to the point to feel buzzed.
Yeah.
And I would wake up the next day and have just a throbbing headache.
Yeah, and feel like you're going
to
die.
And felt terrible for like 2 or 3 days. And then when Celine said that, I was like, well, shit, maybe she's on to something. So the next weekend, I tried it. I still had a headache, but it wasn't from drinking.
It was from fucking life.
Yep. No, I'm kidding. I didn't have a headache. But I do get headaches. I mean, I think everyone does. But, yeah, they decreased quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they would trigger my migraines. So I was like, I don't need to drink anymore.
And it added no value to my life. So why not get rid of it? And I don't judge people who do drink. If you want to drink, do you.
Oh, totally. I don't care. I was once a very heavy drinker. So,
yeah.
My friends and I always joke about how I was the most blacked out of everyone for like 4 years straight.
Really?
Oh, I drank all the time in college. I was drinking almost every day in college. It was probably a problem, but it was college, so it wasn't really considered a problem. I did stop, though. I have, like, this thing.
Yeah.
Mason calls it insane willpower. My mom calls it I got sick of it syndrome. If I do something in excess, like dyeing my hair, sleepovers, drinking, I usually stop doing it. Same thing with food. Like, I ate McDonald's every day for a year, and then I stopped eating it. I'm back on that wagon. Not every day, but, like, I love McDonald's.
It's a safe space. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so I just, like, was like, I don't really need it, so why do it?
Yeah. So, again, I don't judge people who do drink. It's just, it doesn't add any value to my life.
I don't have a beverage once in a while.
Yeah. I, like, sip on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, at the Halloween party.
Yeah. But
that was a demon of a drink, though.
That was strong. I did have a drink then, but that was, I don't really count that.
You kind of had to.
Yeah.
It was a blood bag.
Yeah. Not legitimately a blood
bag.
It
was a drink in a bag that looked like blood.
Yeah. But it was good. It was strong. But so that was another thing that Celine mentioned, was that your tolerance goes down.
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize how much your tolerance goes down after you haven't drank. So,
yeah, you were buzzed after one drink.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know why I felt the need to bring that up, but I just
New Year.
Yeah, New Year and
New Year. You've gone almost a year without drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was gonna have a little cocktail at Christmas because it was Christmas.
It's Christmas, yeah.
But then I got COVID, so I'm like, well, fuck that.
Christmas. I
had
wine.
Yeah.
I usually do.
Yeah, I was gonna have just a small little cocktail, but I was sick. I'm like, well, I'm already sick. I don't want my immune system to go down even more by drinking.
Or could it be that your immune system would get better with it burning away with alcohol?
Maybe.
I don't know. It's something I think about. Mason has not gotten COVID.
It's a demon.
That made it sound like he's an alcoholic. He's not.
No.
He just drinks more than TJ and I.
You know, we love Jesus, but we drink
do.
A little.
What?
We love Jesus, but we drink a little.
Jesus drank wine. It turned out just fine.
Exactly.
Name that song. Jesus drank wine. It's Miranda Lambert?
Yeah. Yeah. Heart Like Mine.
Yes.
Because I heard Jesus, he drank wine, and I bet we'd get along just fine.
Yeah.
He can calm storm or heal the blind, you know, and yeah, I
yep.
know the song you're talking about.
Yep.
I don't know why I sang the whole thing,
no,
but
I loved it.
I had to, I'm like, I know it because I have the
yeah.
song. Anyways, so yeah, episode one, season three.
Yes, and we are doing what we really, honestly, I think we flourish in a theme, in a moment, in a throwback, would you say? We sprout wings and fly when we're within the realms of something we really love. So what we did was we went out and saw a movie that has lived in our bones since 98.
We were about 8 or 9. I don't know. Well, I was about 8 or 9. How old do you think you were?
I didn't see Scream until 2001 or 2002.
So about
when
same
I was
age.
About 8.
Yeah, okay.
So it's been in my bones for about 20 some years.
Yep.
Which they called out very thoroughly.
Yes, they did.
We're talking
so,
about Scream, by the
yeah,
way.
I was gonna say we're talking about Scream. Kind of a beloved franchise for us. Which is like kinda weird. Like about murder.
Yeah, they kind of called it out in the movie, guys. They were like, I don't remember the exact line, but they were like, bunch of millennials who were 8 or 9 watching this movie
with
their parents who introduced them out of some sick need to bond. And TJ and I just looked at each other because we were both introduced by one of our parents.
My mom, her dad.
At the same exact age.
Yep.
And are obsessed with the horror genre since.
Yes. Like,
it is the movie that we both say, like, oh, that's like what piqued my interest.
100%. I remember I was so excited to watch it. My mom wasn't going to let me. And finally, I think she just got annoyed of me asking.
She got annoyed?
Yeah, and she was like, fine. I was probably a little young. But I think as long as you're able to understand that it's a movie.
Yeah.
And like, this doesn't actually happen.
No.
I mean, people do get killed, which is
but,
very unfortunate,
yeah.
But not like in that way.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important. If like I became obsessed and was like,
let's kill people,
then that might be something to worry about. But I felt like it was a healthy obsession.
Yeah.
I loved it for what it was. And I have loved all of the sequels for what they are. Even the third one.
Even the third one isn't hard to watch.
No.
You know, like, none of them are hard to swallow or watch. So it was nice. The best thing about the Scream franchise is that the farther and longer it goes, the more aware of itself it becomes.
Each movie makes fun of itself for what it's doing.
Like, for instance, they make fun of the formula. So they did that.
The current formula.
Yeah, the current formula. They did that in the 2011 Scream 4. They made fun of the formula and talked about that. But this time, they like really broke it down. They're
mm-hmm.
like, if you go into a room and you go by yourself, you're dead. If you say, I'll be right back, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like they didn't actually mention anything about race. There were actually two black people.
I would say this movie broke that mold.
The two black people did not die.
Oh.
Which...
Spoiler.
Sorry. Well, that's not... Meh. They're not that important.
Not really, but no.
I won't spoil anymore.
Well, we can talk about spoilers.
I guess we can. We're going to spoil things. So fuck off. It's 2015.
It's been out for like a week. You've had enough time. I'm just kidding.
Tomorrow. there are people of color. In fact, the two main girls, the Neve Campbell and the Gail Weathers, like their sisters, are both of Latin descent. Mm-hmm. So it was breaking the mold.
Very diverse group of cast.
It was a very one of the friends, Amber. I feel like she's part Asian. She looked very ambiguous, ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I honestly thought that she was Ezra Miller's sister.
She kind of looks like Ezra.
But it didn't look like they were related.
No.
But I thought they were. I'm like, they could be brother and sister.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
She just looks racially ambiguous, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And same with the. So this movie, I think, without saying, made fun of things like having random douchebags in a movie and killing them,
mm-hmm.
which they do immediately.
Yes, they do. I was actually thinking about that one. I'm like, what was the point of that one?
Just to make fun of,
dirtbag
dying.
Yeah, I think so.
Because there was really no point.
No.
I think it was just to do.
I think
to prove
just,
that they were gonna kill.
Yeah.
So, you know, it starts off with exactly how they've all started off. There is a kill scene in the very beginning.
It's reminiscent of the original Scream, but modern.
Yeah, with to the point of they have like electric alarm systems and mm-hmm. locks and stuff.
Which you can actually get, and they're fabulous. I want them.
Are they expensive?
Yes. Like, a lock is, $300.
I want them so bad.
I know. And they had, multiple locks. But they also had a very nice house, so.
But her mom was apparently a drunk.
That's true.
But she was at a conference in London.
And was not in the movie at all.
At all. Not one time.
Nope. But, yeah, so the opening is very reminiscent of the first movie.
Yeah.
And they even mentioned that.
Yeah. Which... This is the first time in the movie, the first part, that they start breaking the mold.
Yeah.
The kill scene, the girl is not killed.
I was very surprised.
Yeah.
Because she was stabbed 9 times, I think, or something like that, is what they said.
Yeah.
And honestly, with how many times she was stabbed, there's no way she'd be able to do half of what she did. She would have been in that hospital bed for a long time. Especially when she got stabbed in the back, which is where a lot of primary muscles are.
And when she ripped open her shin with a broken shin bone.
Yeah.
That was probably a femur bone. A
little bit. Those take years to heal.
It's the biggest bone in your leg. It literally doesn't ever really heal.
Yeah.
She's gonna have a gimp.
Yep. She's gonna be Dewey.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah, so it's literally right off the bat, we get what looks like a pretty gory death scene.
She ends up not dying.
Which is weird because, the first victim always dies.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
She actually ends up being a major player
mm-hmm.
in the game.
Yeah.
So they break apart the mold. Actually, Mindy, who is Randall Meeks' niece, if you remember Randy Meeks... He passed away in Stu Mocker's old house while sitting on the couch breaking apart the formula.
That's not when he died. He died in Scream 2.
Was it Scream 2?
Yeah, he got pulled into the van.
Oh my god, he survived in the first one.
He got stabbed in the shoulder.
That's right.
Yeah.
He survived in the first one.
Yep.
Oh shit, I totally forgot.
It looked
like he died.
In the movie, it looked like he was going to stab him, but then people came into the house and Ghostface ran away.
Yeah.
Because he was going to kill him.
You're right.
But anyways.
Randy survives.
Yes.
Jamie Kennedy's character.
Yep.
He survived, sorry. But it, so his niece is watching his scene and, like, playing it word by word, and it's really funny because it mirrored the scene exactly, and she does it, like, she does what he didn't do, was looks up.
Yes. So each movie learns from itself.
Yeah.
And this one, like, they know what to look for, I guess you want to say. They know the rules. They know what to follow. And, yeah, it's funny because she does exactly, pretty much frame for frame, what Randy did in the first one. Even in the same house, which is weird. But, like you said, she looks up. Mm-hmm. And I think she still does get stabbed.
She does get stabbed.
Yeah, because she gets stabbed in the same spot that Randy did.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So, we already spoiled that she doesn't die, so.
They did make it look like she did, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we need to go through the whole movie, but let's talk about her favorite parts.
Okay.
Yeah, first. Sure. So, one of my favorite parts, obviously, is I love that they brought back Sydney, Dewey, and Gale, the three staples of the Scream franchise. And what is interesting about this movie is in all of the other movies, they're the main characters. Mm-hmm. And in this one, they're still the main characters, but they kind of take a backseat. Like, they're in it just enough, but not enough to make it their story.
They say an ode to it, but they literally are passing the torch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they say. Because she's... says something about time to pass the torch, and she's Gail's like, take it, bitch. Or something like that. You can have it, bitch.
Yeah.
So it was very fun to see them all back together again. I don't know if Sydney and Dewey shared any scenes together though. Other than a phone call.
I don't think they did.
Which is kind of a bummer, but anyways, but one of my favorite parts was we do get someone from the past that comes back. I was a little disappointed with this because I thought for sure we were right.
Yep.
But Billy Loomis comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally.
No.
Figuratively, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. We find out that the main character, what's her name?
Sam Carpenter.
Sam. Tara was the sister. Sam is the daughter of Billy Loomis.
Yep.
He was cheating on Sydney. Well, I'm sure he cheated on her a lot, but he was cheating on Sydney with a girl from high school who was about 16.
Yep.
And she ended up getting pregnant, and she is now the grown daughter of Billy. And she sees him.
Mm-hmm. Like psychosomatically.
Yeah. I said kind of like a guardian angel type thing.
But like serial killer.
But like he's a terrible person. So.
Yeah, but she was seeing him like pretty character.
Accurate?
Yeah. So I feel like he was like a ghost and not a bit, like she's not crazy.
Yeah.
Which I think is what they were trying to get across.
Yeah. I agree. So it was kind of cool to see him back. You can tell they de-aged him to make him look how he did when he died in the first Scream movie, which I thought was very well done. Like, it didn't look bad.
I thought that he was a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very cool to see him. I was convinced that Stu Mocker, or Matthew Lillard from the first movie, was going to be a killer, who didn't actually die in the first one, but came back to get some vengeance, you know? But
I was hoping for him.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Okay.
But that's okay, because it was so cool to see him.
Cool to be in his house.
Yeah, it was cool that they went back to the original house. That was really cool. But you don't know it right away.
No.
Until
it looks familiar.
Yeah, you're like, it looks weird, you know?
Yeah.
And then they say where the house is, and they're like, that's Stu Mocker's old house. And you're like, oh, shit.
You're like, what? That's why it looks familiar.
Yeah. So yeah, my favorite scene, or not my favorite scene, but one of my favorite moments was seeing Billy back. That was pretty cool. How about you? What was one of your favorites?
There were a lot of good moments in this
there were
movie. It was actually really good. They're all really good, so I wasn't super surprised.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments is actually a soundbite. Dewey is watching TV and he's talking to Sydney on the phone.
Yeah.
And it pans, he's watching Gail's morning show. And it pans back to the show and Gail says, "If I ever get bangs again, somebody please hold an intervention." And I turned to TJ and I was like, "Did you hear what they just said?" And he was like, "What?"
It's one of those moments you have to be, hear it or you'll miss it.
Yep. Yep.
Because Dewey is having a conversation with two of the people from the movie. So I was focusing on them, but she heard it and I didn't.
Yep.
So she told me what Gail said and I could not stop laughing.
It was so funny.
Because we all know, like, she had a terrible haircut in Scream 3.
We talked about it for 10 minutes.
Oh my God. We talked about it for like 10 minutes, that one podcast.
Yeah.
And even she, Courtney Cox, has mocked that hairdo.
Yep.
Even spoofing it.
Yep.
Which is so funny. I think that is
the makings of a great actress.
The fact that you can make fun of yourself or your own mistake, like, you know, makes I think that says a lot about a person.
I agree.
You know, to say like it didn't happen, like, or try to hide it, like, why? It's there.
Yeah.
You know. One of my other favorite moments is, well, okay, I wouldn't call it a moment, and I don't know if this is one you were going to say about the director. You want to say it or me?
No, you can say it.
Okay. So for those that don't know, the original director of the first four Scream movies, Wes Craven, and the creator of a lot of beloved horror icons, he passed away. I don't know what he passed away from.
It was cancer.
Was it? Mm-hmm. But he did pass away. And in this movie, there is a character who... did I say his name? The director?
Did
I say his name? I can't remember if I did. Director's
not
name...
Yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
The director's name was Wes Craven. I couldn't remember if I said it or not. But yeah, his name was Wes Craven. And in the movie, there is a character named Wes. And I actually pointed it out to Celine right when they said, "Oh, this is Wes." I go, "Oh my God, like Wes Craven." Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a great way to honor the person that made these movies popular. You know?
It was a great nod. Spoiler. The character dies, which some might be like, "Oh my God, why would you kill off the Wes Craven's character?" I think it is the perfect homage to Wes Craven. I think they could not have given him a better nod than to kill off his character.
I think he would have loved it.
He would have
not been killed, but
he would have wheezed laughing.
Yes. I think he would appreciate what they did.
It was a very honorable way to mention him.
Yeah.
So I would like to say that them killing the character was, like, actually pretty great.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. It was a very cool... It was a very cool moment that they honored him by giving a character his name. You know, it's sad that he passed away, but...
They did dedicate the movie to him.
They did.
I imagine that they'll dedicate every one to him, probably.
Yeah. Not necessarily a favorite moment, but I will say this movie was very gory.
There was a lot of blood. There's a lot of skin.
I would say this was probably the goriest movie. Yeah.
I would say so.
And I feel like that's saying something.
Because they were all pretty gory.
Yeah. But this one was really...
It was very
icky.
Gory. There was just like a lot of close-up shit. Like the neck.
Ooh, that one... Mm-hmm. That one made my butt pucker.
Yep. Although, I do think that Wes Craven would have, like, really enjoyed that.
Yes. Agreed.
That was Wes's character that happened to
him. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Thank you.
Siri agrees.
Thank you, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good nod.
Yeah. It's a very gory movie, though.
It was.
Not... I wouldn't say it's scary.
No.
You know, I don't think really any of the Scream movies are scary.
Whenever people ask me what scary movie would you recommend to me for somebody who doesn't like scary movies, I always say Scream.
I always say Scream or Halloween. Because they're not, in the modern sense, scary.
No. They're... Yeah.
You know, They're just more like, ah.
They're not like Annabelle or Insidious where you think about it for days after.
No, exactly. Do you have another favorite part?
Oh, I haven't been thinking about it. It's not necessarily like a favorite part. It's just something in the Scream movies. I can never tell you who the killer is going to be.
No.
And this, it rang true. And I thought maybe this time we could. Because we just power binged all of them.
Yeah. Like back to back days.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe we'll get it. But it was so, so meta. It was so self-revived.
Yeah. That
they're just like so self-aware. They're to the point where I think that the way they're making these movies is straight up talking out loud and just be like, no, no, no. Like, what if, like, this? And then they literally type that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes it impossible to figure out who the killers are. Because it's so self-involved.
100%. I leaned over to Celine in the movie. I said, what if it's three people?
Yeah.
Because it's never been done before. Yeah. And this whole movie was about...
A requel
is what they called it, yes. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know how I feel about that.
A reboot sequel.
Yeah. It's like a combination of the words, but I meant like, I don't know how I feel about that word.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like the idea of
a reboot sequel, yeah,
but requel just like,
it kind of gets to me after a little bit. I'm like, requel.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was going to say, but
the whole movie was about it being a reboot / sequel.
Yeah.
And how self-aware the movie is.
Yeah, I had something great I was going to say. It was mind-blowing. But I don't remember. But yes.
Yeah, you leaned over and said, what if they did three?
Yeah, okay, I remember now. Because this whole movie is about rehashing what we know, mm-hmm. but also making it new again.
Yes.
Because I admit, there was a lot of times I had no idea what the hell was going on. I'm like, I'm so lost with who I think it is now. And even literally moments before they revealed who the killers were, it's two of them, not three this time, by the way. I said, oh, it's not him. And like, there's no way. And then like 2 seconds later,
it's him.
You found out it was him. I don't want to say who the killers are.
No, I
because
won't
that's kind of, that's a fun reveal.
Yeah. And there are even moments where they make you think everyone's the killer.
Yeah. Yes, they do. I was convinced, because they were making it new, that there was going to be three of them. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure one of them was going to be Stu Mocker.
Yep.
That he was going to be like the big reveal at the end. But it wasn't. It was only two.
Nope.
But it was still, it was a good reveal. It was a creepy reveal. You know.
And they were good. We didn't catch.
No.
That there were a lot of moments where you think you know who the killer is, or you think they're like revealing it.
Yeah.
Also, one of my favorite parts in this movie is they thoroughly fuck with you with the open door policy. Okay? The open door policy, for those of you that are unaware, is when the door opens and you can no longer see past it, it closes again, killer's there. Okay? It is a long used cinematic trope.
Yeah.
Okay? Along the same lines is the mirror. You bend down, brush your teeth, spit it out, look up, there's a killer. Okay, same trope, same thing, same idea. They did it. This thing is like the bane of my existence. TJ can tell you, when this happens in any scary movie, I fully go beneath the blanket. He's doing it. I cover my eyes. I can't deal with it. And it happened so much in this movie. Probably
more so than any of the Scream movies. Like, to the point where it was starting to be funny.
Yeah, because... And then... It would happen.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what the...
Yeah!
Because you didn't expect it anymore.
No,
because
it's like The Boy Who Cried Wolf. You do it so much, you don't expect it. And like, oh, okay, sure. It's going to be there this time. You know? And then they do it, you're like, shit!
Which, like, what a brilliant way to make something old...
New again. Yes. Yeah, so that's what I mean. We're like, this movie is a rehash of like things we know or have already seen, but making it new and exciting.
It was they did it very well. So that's one of my least favorite tropes ever, too, because it always gets me. And this movie, I was literally every 5 minutes just starting to lift the blanket up, and then I drop it back down, starting to lift it up. And then at the end there, I didn't lift it up at all.
No.
And then it shows, there he was, Ghostface.
I'm ready to be
all.
Hurt again.
Hurt me.
I don't want to talk about any of the big deaths.
No.
Because I feel like that's a...
That's a saved moment.
That's a...
You have that moment with the movie.
Yes. I feel like the two of the biggest moments is when a big character dies, and the big reveal at the end of who the killers are. And I don't want to spoil that for anyone.
Either of those
things,
yes.
I will say this movie is very much respectful of where it comes from.
Yeah.
And is...
It honors the code.
It honors the code, yes. And it handles the transition from director to directors very well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One
thing, that's one thing I was worried about was, A, there's not one director, there's two. Which usually spells trouble for a movie.
Yes.
Because...
Unless your brothers, like the Russo brothers, the Connolly brothers, and the Farrelly brothers.
Yes. Brothers. So, like, they usually probably work well together. So, that's what I was a little worried about was, okay, there's two directors.
What do we do?
How are they going to handle this without ruining it? And I felt like they did such a good job. This movie is a love letter to Wes Craven.
That's such a good way to put it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
thank you.
That's such a good way to put it.
It's a
I
love...
I kiss the ground you walk on.
Thank you.
Walk on this.
It's a love letter to what he created.
I agree.
And it honors what he did.
And I think it continues it in the most respectful way.
And I also feel like it maybe ends the character's stories that we've all known.
Well,
where that if they're not in the next movie, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because they weren't in it. Like, they're not the main characters this movie.
No.
They're supporting characters.
Yeah.
But in it enough where it feels like it still is their movie.
Yeah.
So, the movie has been doing well.
Yep.
It's gotten great reviews.
Yep.
The early reviews I've heard very mixed, but I loved it. If you like the Scream movies,
you'll love it.
You'll like this movie.
Yeah, you'll love it.
If you don't like the Scream movies, you're not going to like this movie.
No.
You know? That's, I mean.
Then you're listening to the wrong podcast right now.
Easiest way to put it. I enjoyed it. I honestly hope they keep making more.
I would love it to just continue.
But I don't want it to get to a point where it's Scream 3 and we're just over it. You know what I mean?
I would love it if they just keep making fun of it like they do with the Stab movies in the movie.
Yes. Do you not secretly kind of want to see the Stab movies?
I wish they would release the Stab movies.
Like, I wish they were real so I could watch them in all their corny loveliness.
I just want all eight of them. You know,
right?
Somewhere somebody's made them.
I'd watch them.
I would too. I would have a Stabathon.
And it's funny because David Arquette played, not really, but he played Dewey in the Stab movies.
Yeah.
Like, he was cast as
yeah.
him. I'd love to see him as Dewey.
I love that Heather Graham played Drew Barrymore's character.
Yep.
And Luke Wilson played...
Billy
Loomis.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Like, what? How did they get all these big names to play these characters?
Yep.
But that's the power of Wes Craven and Scream.
Yep. Yep. And I feel like it's also a love letter to the people that have stayed with the franchise this long. You know?
As I said, they mention really... Not so much as mentioned, but call out the 8-year-old to 9-year-old kids that were introduced to this by their parents who are now obsessed with horror.
Like Celine said, I felt attacked.
So, they kept saying things. They were like, this is for the 8 to 9-year-olds. And we looked at each other.
Uh-huh.
We saw this movie for the first time, and we looked at each other. With their parent or parents, we looked at each other and then became obsessed with horror. Again, we made eye contact. And I literally leaned over to him and I was like, do you feel called out right now?
Yep.
Because, yes.
The fact that it was so specific.
To the age.
Yes, I was just like, that's really weird. But again, like, how many people, so, like, it's not just us then. Like, it's other kids that got introduced to it at that age.
It must be, a long-running thing that, like, kids were just, like, parents, I don't know. I think it's hilarious. I'm going to show my kid at 8 years old, and hopefully it turns out just the same.
Also have to remember, this was the time before social media, before phones. Everyone had a phone. You went over to a friend's house and had a sleepover. The parents just trusted you were making good choices. And you and your friends were probably going to be watching that movie. Or, like in my case, our parents.
I was going to say, if only it were the friends.
Yep. In our case, our parents who were just like, hey, we're doing this now. Sit down, bitch.
Can you say that to my future child? Sit down, bitch. You're eight. It's time for a come to Jesus.
Yep.
Or come to Ghostface.
Yes.
That sounded dirty.
That sounded kind of dirty. Yep.
Come
on, you're going to come on us. Wait, what?
Who? Where? Come.
Who, what, where, when, why, how?
Okay.
Anything, any other favorite moments?
None that I can say without spoiling the things, and things are spoiled.
Would you see this on a Friday night?
I actually would.
I would have.
I actually would.
I would have, but the tickets were like $19 or something like that, weren't they? Didn't you say they were kind of expensive? Because we were going to go on Friday, and you're like, yeah, the tickets are kind of expensive. Yes. Let's just go Tuesday.
Yeah, they were. They were like the ultra seats. The first two theaters when you walk into Marcus.
Yeah.
Those theaters.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't really want to pay that much.
I would see it on a Friday, like, in the... Okay. If it was a Friday, and we were like, let's just go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say no. But if we planned ahead, I would be like...
That's a lot for a movie. Like, yeah. Even $13 is like, ugh. But I'd still pay it.
We actually only paid student pricing for No Way Home.
Saw it on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm surprised they had it as student pricing.
I know. I actually wonder about that, how many... Because it's not like they really check your tickets to see if they're kid or adult. Like,
also, all those kids last night in the movie, sorry, the actors...
October.
Thank you. All of them were my age. Just want to point that out.
Yep.
Almost all of them were 27 to 31 years old.
Yep.
So, all I'm saying is I can also play a 16-year-old in high school.
If I shave, I can.
Yes. We could be 16 in high school.
Yep. Exactly.
I just need to, like, I won't wear as much makeup. What I'll do is I'll roll out my bangs like I normally do. Just like...
Yep.
I look
12. I'll be like Joey on Friends when he hit my 19 or what? Sup. Sup, dude. Sup with the whack PlayStation. Sup.
Sup.
Yep. Bro. Am I 19 or what? Yes, on a scale of 1 to 19, 19 being the dumbest a person can look, you are definitely 19. Love that scene.
Am I 19 or what? I used to say that all the time.
Yep.
Am I 19 or what? When I was 19, I would say it, actually.
Yep. What would you rate this?
Probably a 7.
So I gave it 2. Okay. I debated between 7 and an 8. And I guess I'm like a 7.5. Not quite an 8. I feel like I gave the first movie an 8, and nothing will ever live up to the first one. This was a great movie.
It was very good.
And I was very excited to see it. And I'm so glad that I have someone to go see it with. Because, like I said, I saw Scream 4 by myself.
I can't believe you saw it by yourself.
Yeah, because no one wanted to go with me.
We weren't friends in 2011.
No.
I would have gone to see it with you.
Which, that was only a couple years before we met.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's so weird.
Yeah. So
we've been friends that long.
Since 2014. 8 years.
Yeah.
That nuts?
Age.
Yeah. It'll be 8 years this year.
Yeah.
But
that's
crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I gave it a 7 out of 10, and definitely if you're a Scream fan, if you enjoy the franchise,
go see it.
Go see it.
If you respect the franchise, go see it.
Yeah. I agree.
It's a good nod. And it's a good goodbye to Wes Craven.
Yes. I agree. And I just love that there's no, even the third one, which isn't my favorite, there's no movie that's boring to me.
No.
You know?
No.
So.
None of them are boring.
No.
They're all fun to watch.
Yeah.
Which is why we were able to watch them back to back 2 days.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Final thoughts.
I do think that they'll continue. I do think that they'll probably have the same directors continue it on because they did so well. I think that at best we will get cameos from the originals. I don't think they're going to return at a capacity like this again.
I agree. I think we'll get cameos, and I think them being the lead of the story, I think they're done.
It's over. Yeah.
Because they're getting older.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And honestly, how many times can this happen to one person?
You know? It didn't really happen to Sydney this time.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's where, like, if it 5 times, like, good Lord, like, give that girl a break. She just kind of got roped into it.
Yeah, this time she just was helping.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think that, at best we'll get cameos, and at worst we won't get them at all, which I think I'm finally okay with. This movie made it feel okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like The Force Awakens, yeah, when Han Solo dies. Spoiler. Yeah, been out since like what, 2015, 16?
Has it been that long?
Something like that, yeah.
Holy shit.
I know. So you've had time. Like when Han Solo died, it was like, oh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you get it because like they're older and like.
It's time.
They got to end the character.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Still upset about The Rise of Skywalker because that was supposed to be Leia's movie. Yeah, she passed away before the. That's why she's in it, but very briefly, because they had only filmed a couple scenes. They had to piece together scenes from The Last Jedi to try to complete her part in the movie, because that whole movie was supposed to be about her.
Really?
Because the first movie was about Han Solo. The second movie was Luke Skywalker. The third one was, or the ninth one was going to be Princess Leia's.
Oh my gosh!
Star Wars fact. I knew so. Kind of, so it makes me so bummed because I would have loved to have seen her kick some ass.
I would have too.
You know,
Carrie Fisher was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this was the end to the threesomes, like big part on the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe in the future we get like we did get told that Sydney has a kid. Kids.
Yeah, two, it sounds like.
So I'm hoping that leaves room for future of, you know, Sidney Prescott's child taking the torch.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I don't think she wishes that for her kids, but yeah.
Like what if her kids move back to college in Westboro?
Yeah.
Is it called Westboro?
Woodsboro. It's okay. So, I don't want to be rude, so.
Please be rude. Correct the fuck out of me.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got. If we got nothing else.
Nada.
Then TJ and Celine.
Oh.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. What are we singing today?
Bye-bye.
Don't want to be a fool for
you.
Just another playing game
for two. You.
Might be crazy, but
ain't no lie.
Baby, bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, bye, guys.